Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Jeff Barton, and you are listening to The Mortgage Voice. Mortgage Voice with myself is available on demand and on the air. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately on YouTube. We upload the video version of the show every week. Just search for themortgagevoice.com or the Mortgage Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. Hey, you can also listen to the show on demand with your mobile device via any of our podcast partners, Apple, Google, Spreaker, IO Clips, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio. Yeah, you can cruise around in your car, turn it on, and there we are. In a number of different markets, including Inland Empire, Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks very much for tuning in. Okay, so a lot of things going on, right? We are looking at Fed raising the rates, as everybody knows, and that affects your mortgage rate. And what goes on in your mortgage rate really affects your ability to be happy, right? Everybody wants to get in on the equity that's being built into homes as a result of the really tight market, as a result of very few things on the market, and many people wanting to get out there and buy a piece of property. But when we talk about events going on in the world and how that affects, it's the psyche of the person who wants to do something that's affected by outside forces the most. And you line those up with all of the online and Facebook and Instagram and any number of different online avenues by which you get your information. And if you're, you know, old like me, you probably watch regular news. Regular news, what is that, NBC, CBS, ABC? Yes, all those things. They're piling on in terms of the pressure and the stress. I'm talking, of course, about the war. I'm talking, of course, about the economy and inflation. I'm talking, of course, about all the things that really, you know, the war, the pandemic. Yeah, the pandemic. I forgot about that. Can you imagine that? I forgot that. A month ago, that was the news, the pandemic. Now, for certain, it's third or fourth down on the list, when still there's many people all over the world thinking about that on a daily basis because, yes, it's a big deal. And China just shut down one of their major cities, Zhengzhou, in order to stop the spread of COVID. Now, COVID here in the United States, right, where I am, I'm in Southern California, but in any of the listening areas where we are, or certainly across the social media platforms, all across the country, the people who listen to the show and who watch me, we really haven't thought that much about it, yet it still controls much of what we do in terms of both the stimulus package, which is why they're raising rates, right, because of the inflation, but the stimulus monies that are still available out there, and they're even talking now about giving checks out for the cost of gasoline. Isn't that really what we've been doing anyway? Don't we really still subsidize the oil industry? That's a side completely different. But if we're looking at trying to help people get by during hard times, and we look to COVID, and we look to, obviously, inflation, both of these things take away your borrowing power from the money you made. Now, during this last 2 years of COVID, we've seen most of the people who are out of work come back to work, even though there's still 11.5 million jobs out there to be had if you wanted them. Many people who have come back to work, either stay at home or got a new job, are making more money. That's just the way it has been. One of the reasons why, obviously, inflation has gone up. And I always say, look, they don't call it inflation if you get a raise at work, but that's exactly what it is, right? You don't call it inflation when the worth of your home goes up that you've already paid for. They don't call that inflation, but it's every bit as much of inflation as it is if gasoline prices go up. Now, one of the things that we talked about on The Daily Show about gasoline prices is that most of these gas companies, they're all public entities, worldwide public entities, that derive their, I guess, their marching orders from the shareholders. The shareholders themselves need a certain level of increase in their stock price in order to have their investment pay off. So they have a different view of how corporations should act in any time, let alone a horrible time, i.e. the inflation and the war, really eating up. Although, I don't know if you saw this, Daryl, but what we had in the last couple of days and how oil was at $132 a barrel, now it's down to $92, $93 a barrel. when it was going up. Did you see the gas price go up?
Yep.
Absolutely. Since the cost of barrel goes down, do you
further
see?
Up.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. $6 a gallon. $6.10, $6.15.
It's amazing. And it does not make sense unless you look at it in the prism of, yes, they're a public corporation and they're looking to maximize shareholder value. So, i.e., the executives at Gulf and Shell and Exxon and, you know, you name it, British Petroleum and Dutch Oil and all these large petrochemical companies, oil drillers, they're all making a fortune. The executives are making a fortune. But, you know, who's paying it? You are.
Yeah. I was in three states on Sunday, and California obviously was the highest, and then Arizona and Nevada were about 4.5. Still a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. I mean, 4.5, hey, that's a day at the beach here for Southern Californians. We've been paying that forever. And by the way, California's got a really screwed up system in terms of how they pay for a lot of things. Most of it's on the back of people driving around in cars. So when they tell you, you know, hey, we have to, you know, watch what we're doing. We have to switch to a climate neutral type of lifestyle. Well, California makes huge money on taxes on your car, on gasoline, on anything having to do with petrochemical processes. So I'm not quite sure how sincere they are in all that, but we're all paying the price for it. That's for sure.
We also have something called a summer mix, where they add additive to reduce pollution.
It's like beer.
Costs money.
Yeah, no question about it. Anything they do here in California costs money, and they want to tax it. So, like property values, and that's another thing, property values. When you buy a house here in California, Howard Jarvis, back in 1981, it was Prop 13, which held steady or froze property taxes at 1.25%. Now, you can add in a few extra things, especially if there's special districts and exactions, that's what it is, on your particular property. But basically, it's about 1.25%. But since California has turned into the million-dollar state, i.e., every property in California is probably worth $1 million or more, at least the median price is. So if you're going to buy a house in California, new or, you know, obviously a new or used house, it's going to cost you anywhere probably from $500 to $1.5 million. Automatically, California gets a raise because their property taxes, even though fixed, because the value of that house has just gone up by 30, 40, 50%, well, i.e., California gets a raise in their taxes. So they haven't been complaining too much about that. We digress quite a bit, or a little bit anyway. Let's just get to a couple of things in the news before we get to a few other things in the show. It's a generalized thing going on. Obviously, we have the three things that we've been talking about, inflation, the war, and I did it again, inflation, the war, and COVID. Yes, I did it again. And all those things are really affecting home prices. Now, why do they affect home prices? Well, anything that takes money out of your pocket affects your ability to go out there and buy a home. So what you have to do is look for those products that you can afford. Now, we've got a rising interest rate environment. That rising interest rate is significant. A year ago, we were looking at interest rates for a 30-year fix at about 2.75, maybe even lower if you could go it. Today, it's at almost 4.5. That's a significant jump in a year, 1.5. And what that does is it limits the amount of people that can go out there and get a home. We have probably 50% of the people here in the United States who live paycheck to paycheck, if you can believe it. That is, and you know what? That's actually an improvement on what it was. Most of what we do in terms of trying to keep people working is to trying to keep people working at a certain price point so that it keeps them coming back each and every week, which gives the employer all this power over you, right? Because you're afraid if you don't have a job and you don't have a paycheck, you can't pay for, you know, what your lifestyle is, whether it's your mortgage, your car insurance, now your gas or food or anything else, college tuition, health care, blah, 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 just list after list. But what we need to do is look at what exactly employment is, how we try to help those people who are employed, and try to really rein in the costs of certain things. Now, obviously, with these public companies and gas prices and taking money out of your pockets to pay $100, how much did it cost you to fill your tank?
$100 a quarter.
Yeah, exactly. I just paid $103 to fill my tank with gas. Unbelievable. And this is During the low end of COVID, I think I was paying $30. I mean, it was really amazing. And I only have a 15-gallon tank. So, you know, and I commute probably 50 miles a day, easy, maybe more. So for me, you know, I can afford it, and it's okay. And about 50% of the people in the country, it doesn't bother them at all because it's just another inconvenient expense. But for 50% of the people, I listened to a guy yesterday trying to drive around. He's on a fixed income. He has to choose between going to work or getting food for his kids. Now, come on, that can't be the way it is. All of this takes away the value that your dollar has when you're going out there to buy a mortgage. We have some people on the show today who are going to help you by listing some of the available products out there that may be a little less documentation and maybe a little bit more attractive. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thank you very much for tuning in. You know, our show is available whenever you need information, even if you need it right away. Fit your busy schedule. We make it easy to watch, listen to the show, find our episodes on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice and our Mortgage Voice and our Mortgage Minute. Hey, you know what? We do LinkedIn, we do Facebook, we do Instagram, we do shows probably two or three a week. They're 4 or 5 minutes. It's an excellent way to keep up on the mortgage market, what's happening today that may affect your ability to purchase or buy a home. We're in podcast form wherever you get podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. Check us out. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Okay, enough for the commercial. I'm happy, you know, always when we bring on new people to the show. The reason is because my perspective gets old, and if you listen to the show all the time, you might be hearing the same thing over and over again. Well, our next guest is new to the show. She's been gracious enough to come, and the company New Wave, where she works, is also new to Malibu Funding, the company that sponsors this particular show. Annie Chin, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. If you do hear an echo, by the way, don't worry about it. It's just part of our... Yeah, it's a part of whatever's going on here in the studio.
No problem.
Thanks. Okay, tell us about New Wave. Tell us about what you all do there and the best things that you offer for people either buying or refining.
Well, definitely. Once again, my name is Annie Chin, account executive at New Wave Lending. We are a wholesale mortgage lender working closely with mortgage brokers nationwide. And we are here located in the beautiful sunny Southern California as well.
Okay, and you're located, where in Southern California are you?
City of Industry. We're actually very close.
Oh, yeah, you're right down the 405. Anybody who's knows L.A. knows the 405 and doesn't want to get on it, so that's very funny. Okay, let's talk programs. Give me an idea of some of the programs that you're doing at New Wave.
Okay, so New Wave, we offer a wide range of programs from agency, jungle, government to non-QM. And with the current market situation, non-QM products have become very popular in the past few years. And it seems like that's going to be the trend moving forward.
Yeah, okay. Describe a couple of these non-QMs. I know there's a DSCR, there's bank statements, there's ITIN. What exactly are you doing in the non-QM space?
So, yeah, we do have all that that you mentioned. And, for example, our DSCR is at its moment right now. It's one of the most popular programs that all of the brokers are asking about.
Right. Right. When it comes to qualifying for that type of loan, now we talked on the show earlier today just about interest rates and the affordability of certain houses. Now this DSCR loan acts, you can get the loan because of the rents on the property, right? And how much down do you have to pay? What credit scores are like? Give us some ideas of the parameters of the program.
Yeah, no problem. Our DSCR is actually very easy to qualify because it doesn't require DTI. We look at the market rent value. And for us, the minimum FICO score is going to be 640. Minimum down payment is around 20 to 25%, depending if borrower is experienced investor. It's a great program for investor, first-time investor, freelancer workers, and no-income documents requested. And for us, we do not require prior housing history for first-time investors.
I see. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So, if borrowers live in rent-free or renting, all okay too. If they're renting, they just need to provide 12 months history, and if they're living rent-free, LOE will do.
Okay, and all of these documentations that you're talking about is specific to this particular program. Do you have lighter documentation for other non-QM products as well?
Yes, we do, actually. They're being worked on at the moment.
Like, I see.
A little bit.
No, it's okay, because I think what you're saying is right. I mean, most of the companies out there offering loans are working on new products because of the raising interest rate market, and inflation is taking some of the purchasing power out of the hands of the buyer. So they have to come up with different ways or newer ways to be able to prove the ability to repay. And I assume that's what they're doing at NewWave. I have no idea, but I assume all of these innovations are designed to get more borrowers buying homes. Is that right?
Correct.
Where do you see the market heading in terms of both, I guess the rates out there continue to rise. I think they're almost at 4.5 now for in some markets for the 30-year fixed rate. How do you compete in that market now? Is it mostly just, I mean, not that 4.5% is a lot, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. I was just asking you, how do you compete when there is a rising interest rate market?
Sorry, Jeff, can you repeat that again? You got cut off.
No problem. I was asking you, if, in fact, we continue to have rates that rise, how does a mm-hmm. company like NewWave compete for business, since most companies are either driven by the ease of qualification or by a lower down payment? But when you're dealing with rising interest rates in a 30-year fixed market, how are you set to compete against other companies?
Well, non-QM has something to play, and that's by having more programs available to cater to the market.
Right. So the rising interest rate environment is affecting everybody equally. Is there a special way by which your company competes in that space, or do you really direct more to non-QM because you can be more flexible there?
Definitely more towards non-QM because
there is... Yeah, Annie...
Whoever kind of for agency, they all got a refi. And done.
Right. No, I'm just losing you in terms of what we're recording. I don't know whether it's a reception issue or whatever, but I really appreciate you coming on. It's been awesome having you on once again. I want to have you back when I can get better reception. Thank you very much again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
And thank you very much. It's Annie Chin from NewWave. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in into the show, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Check us out. Check out our website, mortgagevoice.com. There you can find our latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. Go there, see it, call them up. You can also read my blog that keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out and bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. I'm Jeff Barton, and thanks again for tuning into the show. Lots of things going on in the marketplace, in the world. We've talked about it extensively on this show. I've been discombobulated because not only is, you know, the effects of the war that everybody seems to be addicted to watching on television, it reminded me of Trump TV a couple of years ago when you just couldn't stop watching the guy. Or it's about inflation and the negative effects it has on everybody, whether it's gas at the pump or whether it's just food on your table. And, of course, COVID. Nobody can forget COVID. It's still affecting how decisions are made both at your local bank and nationally at the level of the Fed, which, again, raised interest rates or will raise interest rates. But that doesn't really affect right now the next guest that comes on. But a couple of things I wanted to ask him about. Sarah DePalma from Change Wholesale is on with us now, and talk a little bit about what's going on there and how the business is. Sarah, how are you?
Good. How you doing there, Jeff?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Okay, so Yeah, there's a lot of distractions in the marketplace. How has it affected what pricing is like over there at Change, or are you just market focused in terms of that?
Well, I mean, rates have gone up. We've all seen that.
Yep.
But we do offer a lot of different types of loan programs that might assist other people's needs rather than just your regular conventional 30-year fixed type of rate and term refi, if you will.
Great. Tell us about it.
Okay, so first off, we are a CDFI lender. If people don't know what that is, we are a community development financial institution, and that is, we're sponsored by the U.S. Treasury Department, and that gives us products to offer to the underbanked community. So we have your traditional conventional and FHA and VA financing with no overlays, but we also have some non-QM products to assist other people, clients that wouldn't normally fit the Fannie Freddie type box. So we have a 12-month bank payment program for self-employed borrowers. We have a 1099-only program for self-employed borrowers. We have a one-year W-2 only program for someone who might not have a complete two-year history to fit that two-year W-2 employment for a Fannie Freddie loan. And we also have a no-income doc type program to offer to our underbanked communities for people who don't have the traditional financing needs.
Okay, well, that program, let's zero in on that for a minute because that fascinates me. That reminds me a lot of what the programs used to be back in 04, 05, and 06. What's the similarities or the dissimilarities, and what kind of product is this, and how do you qualify?
Okay, so basically you're qualifying on three things. You're qualifying based on the borrower's FICO score, the borrower's assets, and the appraisal for collateral. So typically you're going to be putting 20% down. You're going to have reserve requirements anywhere from 3 months reserves for 740 plus FICO score all the way down to a 640 FICO score with 18 months requirement.
Okay.
So it's not your typical subtype loan or something like that that people looked at previously back
right.
in the mortgage days. This is more, you have 20% down, you qualify on your FICO and your reserves.
In an environment where rates are going up, but also the equity in the home going up, these kind of programs make 100% sense. What's the long-term view, or at least the next year, maybe 2 years view, as to what's happening in the real estate market and also the interest rate environment in order to support these kind of programs?
You know, obviously the rate and term refi market has kind of slowed down due to rising interest rates.
Right.
But there's still plenty of cash out refis, borrowers to tap into their equities to pay off debt, upgrade their homes type deal there. And then as far as the purchase market goes, we still see purchase market is still very strong. If rates continue to go up, you might see a little bit of a pullback, but we don't see any type of a big decline.
No, I agree with that 100%. I think actually it would be welcome if there was a bit of a slowdown in purchase, because it might mean that there's more houses on the market and the actual escalation in cost of a home would be less. And I think that that's really what's needed in the marketplace, because if you want to get in, if you want to really have the best hedge against inflation, which is owning a home, but prices keep pricing you out of the market, you know, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword here, right?
Sorry, I lost you there. I was going to say, we need more inventory out there for the housing market for purchase, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what the level of purchase to refi is at Change. Is it 50-50? That's kind of what it is nationally, but I don't know what it's there.
I would say that we are probably around 50-50, 60-40 for purchase versus refi.
Okay, and are you a national lender as well?
Yeah, we are approved in 46 states currently.
Okay, and do you see any difference in terms of both the, I guess, the desire or the sellability of certain products in certain markets, i.e. if you're in a, you know, in a poorer area, you might go to more of that no income type of loan, or maybe a non-QM product for less documentation, or an FHA product? Or do you see that more present in some areas versus others?
I'd say it's pretty much evenly spread. You know, you'll have a good product mix between FHA and non-QM.
Right.
And you still have your 5% down for conventional loans. But it's an even spread, I would say.
I see. Okay. All right. Nobody likes to guess about what's happening in the future, and I can honestly say that this particular market is one of those where we just don't know. But I can tell you that, obviously, as you well know, interest rates for member banks and discount window kind of pricing is all going up. And they're obviously, this month, I think they're doing away with all of the asset purchases, whether it's mortgage-backed securities or treasuries. Do you think that that's going to suck out all the excess liquidity in the market, i.e. making it even more difficult for low-income or you know, people struggling to get a loan? And I'm just always thinking that we're leaving people behind, but I don't know how to do anything about it, and I was just wondering what your thoughts are.
So that's when where our non-QM products come into play.
Right.
To help serve the underbanked. So if they're not meeting the requirements for, say, a Fannie or Freddie or FHA-type loan or VA loan, we definitely have some non-QM products that will help suffice their needs. Some of our non-QM products do allow for 100% gift funds. For instance, our community program allows for 100% gift funds. The borrower just have to have their own reserves. So there's still availability for them to get a loan if the assets are there.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about, let's list a couple of these non-QM products. I know you mentioned the no income necessary type of loan. There's the bank statement loans. What do you have, a 12 and a 2 year, or what do you have in that area?
We for our Altoff program, we have a typical 12-month bank statement program. We also have the 1 year W-2 only program.
Okay.
And we have the asset depletion program, which is another seller, basically someone who has lots of reserves in the bank but can't show their income. You can qualify based on the assets that they have in their reserve for, say, a 60-month term.
I see. Okay. And how about, go on, I'm sorry.
And then we also have our investor program. So people who are out there trying to invest in property, we allow 15% down on our non-occupying purchase. That's 15% down. You don't document any income on that program. Basically, the property itself is debt servicing. So you're going to put your 15% down. As long as the property debt services, then we can lend on that transaction.
Now, that's what they call that DSCR loan?
That is correct. Debt to service income ratio is basically what it comes down to. So simple math, property just has a rental income of $1,000, and the borrower's principal interest payment is going to be $1,000. That property with debt service, so we can lend accordingly like that.
Okay, and do you do also, let's see, any ITIN type loans, anything like that? Foreign nationals?
Not in the market for an ITIN loan.
No, okay, very good.
But we do allow the foreign national loan where someone who is out of the country and wants to invest in property here in the U.S., they can do so with 30% down.
Okay. Now, most loans are done, obviously, here in the States, but the foreign national loan, because, you know, we're looking at a world, right, which is sort of in turmoil. Are there any newer restrictions, or is it still business as usual?
It's business as usual. 30% down. However, there are certain visa types that are allowed and there's some that are disallowed.
Okay, that's good. So obviously that'll check with you. Hey, could you shout out a phone number or a way by which people can get in touch with you in case they have some questions on these great products?
Absolutely. Phone number 949-351-8599, and email is going to be ciro@changewholesale.com.
Cyril, thanks very much for coming on to the show. Great information, a lot of good product information out there, too. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's Cyril DePalma from Change Wholesale. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton is available on demand and on the air. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately on YouTube. We upload the version of today's show as well as every show for the past 8 years. Every week, go to Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, and you can see and hear shows and archived shows forever. You can also listen to the show on demand on your mobile device via any of our podcast partners, Apple, Google, Spreaker, iO, Clips, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio. Hey, we're in 5 markets in 3 different states. Markets that include the Inland Empire, Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe in the Central California. Appreciate everybody listening, and thanks very much. I am Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. We bring to the show great people all the time. One of the regular people that comes on the show and explains what's going on, as well as some of the advantages of going with a different type of broker or somebody who can offer you more programs. Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. Charles, how are you?
Great, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a little caught up in both the war, inflation, COVID. I had an ex-partner of mine pass away recently. It's been kind of a tumultuous week. I'd imagine nationally many people are mentally wrapped up in other stuff. How do we refocus clients of ours into the purchase market, especially with rising rates?
You know what? That's the question that everybody's asking, and everybody seems to be caught up in all the same stuff.
Yep.
At the end of the day, the banks are still lending. There's still a market out there. Properties are still hot. And at Malibu Funding, we like to show, provide creative ways and resources for individuals to get into the market. Even if the rates are increasing as they're fluctuating up and down, we're still getting some really good rates from a traditional standpoint. But if you're comfortable in the markets of non-QM, those rates rise a little bit, still consistent. Super important that you have more flexibility in qualifying individuals. And at the end of the day, you can get them in other products that have different structures that are not going to be based upon tax returns, are not going to be based on the traditional banks, but be based upon the income of the individual and their ability to repay. So I think there's still a hot market out there to take advantage of. And if you are interested in other structure besides traditional loans, we have many, many different alternative options for financing for you.
I think that's all exactly. We've been talking on the show all day today about a lot of new non-QM products. A couple of people, one from Change and one from a New Wave, both wholesale lenders who work with Malibu Funding. And they talked a lot about, trying to focus people, I guess, more in the non-QM sector because of the rising rates. People get nervous, and a lot of people who can't afford a certain traditional type of loan would look at the non-QM area and say, hey, I would go there, but it's so much more expensive. Is that right or wrong?
You know, it's not that much more expensive. Obviously, you have different borrowers that are, there's usually two different types of borrowers you're used to dealing with. It is those individuals that are interest rate conscious, and then there are those individuals that are check-stroking conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, from the investor standpoint, they're trying to provide the least amount of information to get into a house or the path of least resistance. Non-QM is the way to go. It offers you an opportunity to use your bank statements, or you can use your CPA letter or profit and loss, different ways that you can qualify that can get you around the traditional structure. On top of that, larger loan amounts that are not cutoffs with jumbos, and more importantly, no mortgage insurance on any of these loans. And you can go as high as 90% LTV on a non-QM loan without using your tax returns. Now, if you think about that, and you have a pretty large mortgage, not having to stroke additional $500-$700 a month for mortgage insurance sure saves you a lot of money when you're doing a loan to value that high.
Now, it may also cover some of the costs of interest rate that may be a half a point to a point higher, right? I mean, if you're looking at 4.5% at a 30-year fixed rate now, and these non-QM products could be, between 5% and 5.5%. The offset is you don't have the mortgage insurance, so that's a big savings, and that can help you, pay down whatever it is extra that you have to pay because the rate's higher, right?
And a lot of times, Jeff, when you think about those interest rates that you just talked about, the difference between not having that mortgage insurance may actually have you stroking a lower check than the traditional mortgage.
Right. Right, it's very interesting, and the market is also a private market. This isn't Fannie Freddie. These are private markets that are lending this money, so it's not government-banked. It's not, government oversight regulation, even though there are regulations on all loans, especially first liens. But a lot of these non-QM loans are investor-type loans, yes?
Correct, investor-type loans. that are comfortable with the market. These loans are directly in their specific real wealth, and they have the stomach for these loans. And like you said, Jeff, it's not based upon Fannie and Freddie. So whereas the market adjusts your traditional mortgages to a point where something they can do in regards to interest rates, it obviously moves up and down that way, you may have a non-QM investor who's saying, I'm fine with it. As long as we're at this point and this checks all these boxes, we will receive these loans and keep funding these loans. And that's a great thing.
Now, we see many, many lenders. I would say 75, 80% of the lenders out there, wholesale lenders, are now all jumping into the non-QM space. And I think that competition is good, but is there a type of worry in anybody's head that there's an oversaturation of this type of product? And maybe, you know, I mean, I have a friend who is just waiting for the crash in the real estate market, which would hurt everybody, obviously. I told him I didn't think it was happening, but there is that sentiment out there. How do you combat that when a lot of people are jumping into the non-QM and they try to compare it with what happened back in 5, 6, 7, and 8?
It's not the same. You hear it often, Jeff.
Yep.
What happened before, it's not the same. In these non-QM markets, you still do are putting enough money down, and these are people with really good credit. These non-QM loans are people that have good credit and are showing 12 to 24 months of really good APR, ability to repay and income. So it's not a stated loan where you're not putting anything down,
right.
And it's just a loan where you're going to lose on. Non-QM is not going that way. And I would see more of the market in the bigger loan houses adding non-QM to their portfolios to be competitive. Because as the rates increase, what's going to happen is the non-QM has already took the industry by storm, and it will continue to go. There's many changes that will occur that we talked about just early on in the year that are going to occur, and the non-QM is going to be a big part of it. So, yeah, you don't want it to be oversaturated, but I think some people are getting in just to be competitive, just to stay in the market. But there's some non-QM banks out there that are doing phenomenal jobs and getting hundreds of millions of dollars worth of loans done. And I'm fortunate that Malibu Funding happens to do business with all those companies, and we are happy to help structure any deals that a person feels uncomfortable with or doesn't know anything about or feels like the traditional way is not a structure that they can qualify for or are comfortable with.
Now, real estate, I know that you've done some flipping, some fixing of houses. That market is really tightened because the margins have shrunk simply because the houses themselves, fixed up or not, are costing top dollar. Where do you see that particular market headed? And if there is still room in certain areas, especially in our markets, whether it be Vegas or Albuquerque or Southern California or up in the Central California area, what do you think about that market?
I think it's very tight. Obviously, For the cost of the materials and different things,
yep.
And the time it's taken to get these here, people are losing out. I have investors that are still picking up stuff, doing rehab, fixing flips, and they're utilizing all commercial and non-QM loans to help them get through that. Because of the lesser time that would take, you still can be in that market and make these deals happen. So I do see that it's fallen off a little bit, Jeff. Obviously, the cost of materials and the time it takes, there's just nothing you can do about that. COVID and many different things have taken a hold of that, and you can't really get around that. But with these programs that we still are providing and that we've been talking about, people are getting in the deal still. Deals that they had to close, they come back and refinance them with the same type of loans and not QM. And so at the end of the day, I do still feel, and I'm doing a lot of them, very competitive, and still hopeful. There's still houses out there. You can get your hands on a good deal. You can get it closed. And we also have some loans we can do that provide 100% renovation cost, Jeff.
Yeah, I think the idea that they're gone or all the product, no, there's always a house out there. There's always something that you can find if you look and if you're, you know, steadfast in your belief of, okay, these are my margins, this is what I got to have, this is what I got to buy it at, you can still find properties out there that particular business really, that business model works.
It still really does. And I will tell, investors have a certain model and strategy that they have.
Yep.
And sometimes because the market is so hot, it gets very, very competitive on the lower end.
Right.
Because
that's
people
right.
are willing to take the lower end risk. Now, what you have to do sometimes is you have to trick the muscle, and you have to go up a little bit, because the numbers still work out the same, and if your strategy and model is still good and the market is still hot, you'll sell that house. But you may have to go up a tier to a different market to find a house. As you get higher up in the numbers, the air gets a little thinner, and it'll be less people.
Exactly. If you got to spend more, there's less people that want to do that. Listen, Chuck, I'm up against it, and I really appreciate you coming on to the show once more, giving us great insight into all these different areas of loans, products, and what's the future of the market. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Always happy to be here.
Okay, thank you. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Hey, check out our website, themortgagevoice.com. You can find the latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice and information about our guests as well as their contact information. So if you hear somebody on the radio, go to themortgagevoice.com. You can see their picture, dial them up, ask them any question you want. You can also read my blog, which is also there. It keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out and bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks very much for tuning in. We have any number of different guests that come on the show each and every week, and we try to bring you a variety of types of guests in raising the interest rate environment, which is where we are. And by the way, it's 4.41 is the 30-year fixed rate, 3.72 is the 15, 3.88 is FHA, 3.85 is the jumbo, and 4.0 is the 5-1 ARM. The 10-year is at 2.149. That's really up since the last time we did a show, almost not quite a half a point, but almost. And the 2 year is at 1.847. You look at the 10 and the 2. If they cross, i.e. the 2 is yielding you more than the 10, that's something that is a flashing red light of recession coming. And these are one of the signs that they look to over the many, many years of charting this stuff, and they come up with formulas by which to predict things. One of the things that we do, as I said, is to bring people on the show and they talk about programs, things that will help in a raising interest environment. We're going to have obviously done that again today in trying to help you by finding products that you say, hey, maybe I'm not, you know, the W-2 20% down best rate available, but maybe I can get into something which is less down, which allows me to have more money in order to obviously have reserves, which is what you need for a lot of loans out there, 3 months, 6 months reserves, and that would help do that. Plus, it would also help in terms of what you need for down payment if it's more than 3.5%. FHA is obviously 3.5%, but there are a lot of programs out there which require less documentation, less income, less need for you to stress out. Now, one of the things I think of the problem in this particular market, raising interest rates, we've got a war going on, COVID and inflation, is that people get sidetracked as to the real need for them to get into a house. Now, I say that because as somebody who watches inflation and has been for a number of years, I can tell you that owning a house is the best thing you can do when there are really high inflationary pressures. Now, it may cost you a lot to get into a house, and of course it does in the market I live in, but in some of the other markets that are around the country, I know Albuquerque is still affordable, although it is year over year one of the highest in terms of equity built into your home. I think it went up almost 20% last year, which is unbelievable, and again, one of the highest in the country. And whether you're up in Lake Tahoe, of course, in that area, whether you're going from Reno all the way to San Francisco, San Jose, those areas are very expensive, but there's a divergent, right? You can go from, you know, $300,000 all the way up to way over $1 million for a home. You can search around and find it. It's a big area, obviously, but that's another area where we broadcast. Certainly Southern California, the Inland Empire, i.e. San Bernardino and Riverside counties, those particular places, same thing. You've got a wide, wide variety of house prices, although house prices there are really much higher than they are in some other markets. And certainly in Las Vegas, Nevada, we've seen some of the largest increases in costs of homes and also no homes on the market. Now, we're rounding into the spring buying season, so we're looking to see if, in fact, we'll get more homes on the market. I certainly hope so. I know that some people in around December and January, if their house didn't sell because they either had a price wrong or there was just something with their house that they needed to fix or issues, took it off the market and they would put it back on. We have seen some slowing in the market because raising rates do tend to tamper down. And obviously the war and inflation and the COVID-19, obviously all those three things have dampened the spirit of the buying market. So therefore, there are more things on the market than there were, although we are still down, I don't know, 30-40% from where we were a year ago. Terrible, and there is no short-term solution. One of the things that's the problem, and as I was saying, is the answer for a lot of people, if they can get into a house, is a hedge against inflation, because the mortgage debt you acquire today, if inflation remains, is that your debt is worth that much less, i.e., you pay the same, but it's not as if those dollars you're paying are worth the same as the dollars you borrowed. That's why when we say, look, inflation, if you own a home, is okay. I mean, plus you get equity driven. Now, we're lucky because we have an equity market, i.e. the amount of money that you could take out of your house if you wanted to do a home equity line of credit or if you wanted to pull money out, is better today than it was last year, and it'll probably be better at the end of this year than it was at the beginning of this year. It just seems to be the way the market is, especially when so many people want to get in and so many people can't. It just makes the house that you want to buy more expensive or that want to sell. Obviously, a better way to go is to wait a little bit longer. So if, in fact, you're one of these people, have been waiting, and you want to get out, you have to really consider why you're selling, when you're selling it, and where you're going to go after you sell it. Now, if you move from, you know, where I am in Southern California, and you want to move to almost any other place in the country, in the rural sections of the country, you're going to find your dollar stretch really well. And so you're going to put money in the bank and buy household cash. And I know many people have done that. They've gone to neighboring states. That's why a lot of the locals have hung out the sign, Californians say home, which I understand it. And not in my backyard, you know. I mean, you look at cities like Austin, who really prices have gone up even more than 20%. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. Now, Austin has a lot going for it. Not to say that it is the liberal city in the state of Texas, which is, you know, great for many people coming from California, because that's kind of mentality they have here in California. But just house prices alone are still pretty reasonable, pretty affordable. They got University of Texas, great place down there. Just great, friendly place to go and live. So if you do sell and you do move to a place like Austin, it's a great place, because you're going to take that money you made from here when selling your property, and you're going to be able to go down there and purchase. Okay, so all that being what it is, the Consumer Price Index came out. 7.9% is the year-over-year inflation number. The Consumer Price Index is 10%. So what that means is, in terms of not the consumer, the producer's price index, meaning the cost of goods has gone up 10%. 10% from last year at this time. The cost of living increase is 7.9% overall. Now, these inflationary numbers are hard to hear and hard to look at. I always look at inflation in a lot of different ways. Cars, inflation, right? Cars are up 43%. In terms of used cars and what you're going to pay. New cars are up 10 or 15%. Anything related to cars, gasoline, oil, maintenance, all of that is up big time. But if you own a car and you don't have to buy a car, that part of the inflation number doesn't apply to you. What does apply to everybody is things like food, gas. Those two things, absolutely. But they're not up as high as they are for other items. Travel, for instance. If you want to fly, I think the airline prices I just heard quoted are exactly the same they were before COVID, i.e. they're high and they're going to get higher. Summer travel months, going to get really high. Many people are really just pent up, want to get out. Mask mandates are down, so are we going to see COVID numbers spike in the fall? This is another thing that looms on the horizon. And certainly, and we haven't talked about it much, but I will in the last couple of minutes here, the war. Okay, so when we talk about war and its psyche and how it deals with a day-to-day, many, many people can't stop watching it. it's like a very addicting thing. It's like when the last president was in office, every day was like a catastrophe. So you watched it, and you watched car crashes, and you watched people in NASCAR smash into the wall, and you love this kind of, it's addicting, it is, but it's also exhausting. And the focus that you need to have on things like housing, employment, childcare, all the things like that have taken a bit of a step back, because there's an omnipresent way to think about on a daily basis, especially if you watch it, and there's so many ways to watch it. The war itself is going to cause some issues in inflation, because certain products that we make in America that we were importing from either raw materials or finished products from factories in the war area are not available right now. So those particular items, there's a lot of items in terms of raw materials and precious metals that are made in Russia and Ukraine. And that's really going to affect things, semiconductor industry, a lot of electronics. Those things are going to cost more or not be available at all. However, if you can get by that and try to concentrate, as I said, on the four main areas that are really important to your life and not watch it so much, you will be able to calm down, concentrate, and look towards either the loan you need to get to buy, the money you need to take out for the refi, or the property you want to look for in order to get a house to hedge against this inflation. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. Thanks very much for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.